I'd like to ask you kindly to open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 18. I would like to express my gratitude for the beautiful hospitality I had. I didn't know that there would be some Italian food today, and I was pleasant to be with you and to renew fellowship and see how the Lord is doing with you. The parable of the unforgiving servant, a very important parable for us who endeavor to grow in the ways of the Lord. Because we all have in our hearts some people we cannot forgive. Sadly, it's true. There are some people who may have wronged us and has or done something we don't like, and sometimes when their name is mentioned, our blood starts boiling. We get upset. Not only in your culture, but in Sicilian culture, if you mention a name to someone or somebody who upset him, his blood will be boiling. But whilst we can expect that from those who are not saved, because the natural man will react in that way, how are we to behave as children of God in those circumstances? You see, the problem, there are two great issues in the life of every human being. We all want to be assured that our failings are forgiven and forgotten. You don't want to have the problem of being reminded every time that you've done something wrong. Wives are known never to forget when you do something wrong. You're always reminded that you forgot the gas on or the tap open and so on and so forth. But besides this, the sense of humor, we have a desire in our hearts that we are forgiven when we realize we've done something wrong. And if Jesus here is asked the question, verse 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter's asking a question. How often should I forgive? And the Lord gives a different answer. Not seven times, verse 22. I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7, which doesn't mean 490 times only. He has a meaning of more often. And the Lord gives a very interesting parable. You see, when we commit a sin, when we do something wrong, we become debtor to God. A debtor. You become a debtor. You owe. If you remember, my friends, in in the Lord's Prayer, we are taught to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts, Matthew 6, verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And indeed, we are encouraged in the Bible that we are blessed when our transgressions are covered. The blood of Christ covers our sins. Blessed is he, the psalmist says in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Now, in the parable, here we have a kingdom, and there is a king. And the king calls all his servants to give account. Now, we all have to give account. And one of the servants, he has a great debt. So look at this unforgiving servant. He goes before his king. He has to give account. And he has a great debt. He owes him 10,000 talents, verse 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, my friend, 10,000 talents, people will calculate in different ways. We was definitely, I won't give you the amount in pounds or euros or whatever currency you like or dislike, but it was a great amount of money. It was quite a lot of money. So the debt, it was a great big debt. Now, my friend, this man also, in verse 25, he was helpless. Now, what is that? The condition, look at the condition. He was a great debtor. He owed his master a lot of money. And when we sin, we owe to God. You know, especially when we are not saved. And he's an helpless bankrupt. Verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. And his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. He could never repay the figure, but when it was sold, this was to show that the master had the power to dispose of of those who hold him thing, and that he had the power to punish. It was to maintain the credibility of the king. And he was trying to, here he says in verse 26, and the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. But he could not pay anything back to him, did he? How could you pay 10,000 talents of whatever, of silver or gold? How could you pay back God? And the natural man will try to do things, to do good works. Very sincere. In many religions today, you have people who will recognize that they owe God a lot of things. They will recognize that they have sinned, and they will say, I will pay you back. I will make it up to you. That's what they are the problems during the Reformation. People wanting to do some good works. That's the problem with man-made religion. I do some good works to pay God back. I hope and I trust you don't believe that. But the Bible certainly say this, that even if we try to, I'll be a good Christian, I'll be a good person. The Apostle Paul clearly says in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. We can keep the Ten Commandments as much as we like, or try to, but if we hope that the keeping of the Ten Commandments will give us salvation, we are wrong. The keeping of the law does not save. Why do we keep the law, my friends? It's an evidence that we are already saved. Only Christians with a new heart can keep the Ten Commandments. Those who have no new heart, okay, can try as much as they like, and it will be harder and harder, and their attempts will be a constant document of accusation against them, because they will fail all the time. So there is a helpless bankrupt. And then there is a condemnation. The Lord commanded him to be sold. So he was a great debtor. He was an helpless bankrupt. And he was under condemnation. And he asked for patience. He could not pay all. How can we remedy for our sins? Can we do something to satisfy the divine requirements of God's justice? We can never do that. Christ did it all. And the Lord had compassion. In verse 27, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. What a beautiful picture. Here we have from a hopeless situation, from a disastrous situation. He was going to be sold as a slave. His children were going to be sold. His family was going to, everything he had and treasure was going to be sold. And now the king say, loosed him from the bed. Loosed him. He forgave the whole debt. Now my friends, this is a blessed assurance that the Lord forgives completely. The Lord is a compassionate Lord. The Lord also forgives. Sometimes we forget that the Lord forgives. We are reminded in Psalm that the Lord is a merciful God. If you read in Psalm 103, if you wish to follow Psalm 103, there is a prayer a day with, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. But he goes a little bit further than that. Sometimes we bless the Lord because the Lord give us things. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy disease? The Lord is the one who forgives. Oh, but a beautiful. The Lord is compassionate. The Lord in his love, he does forgive. And even when we are in situations which are really serious, the Lord is able to forgive. Israel was rebellious. Israel very often did the wrong thing in spite of all the blessing that they had. And are we not at times like Israel? We have the blessings, we have the promises, we have the love of Christ, and still, because we are frail, we still sin. We go off the road. But it is not to despair, my friends, because here the Lord is described as the one who is compassionate and is merciful and he pardons. So here, if we want to look back at one verse, I want to look in Micah 7:18. The Micah talking about God says, chapter 7, verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardon iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighted in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. What a wonderful God we are. The gods of the ancient Romans and Greeks had no knowledge of compassion and mercy. Pagan gods have no knowledge of compassion and mercy. And also here it says, thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. The Lord is not only forgives, He has compassion. He forgives. He delivers His people. He takes our sins and He buries them into the depths of the sea. That place, the Jews were not very fond of the sea. People were not seafarers. So they put all, they say for them, the picture is God has put all their sins into the depths of the sea. What a beautiful promise. Now we have been forgiven much. So unforgiving servant has a deplorable condition, is a great debtor, is a bankrupt, is under condemnation, and he asks for patience. The Lord is a merciful Lord, is a compassionate Lord. He was moved with compassion. The Lord forgave him the debt, and the Lord set him free, delivered him. Now that ought to be something which should create gratefulness. We should create joy. If we are set free from something which is terrible, we should be happy to say, "The Lord has forgiven me. The Lord has delivered me." But the unforgiving servant goes into a different road. Verse 28 says, "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a little thing, a little debt." How soon he forgot the mercy had been recipient of, the mercy had received, and laid his hands on him. He grabs him. He goes and for his throat. He has thought about choking him. "Pay me what that thou owest." And his fellow servant, you see the parable here is very interesting, the same parallel. As the king demanded the 10,000 talents and he was not able to pay, the other fellow servant who was threatened, physically threatened, and he even fell at his feet like he did in front of the king in verse 29, says, "And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.'" The same very words, the very words he said to the king. But he won't listen. He would not hearken to his friend, to his fellow servant. He was very selfish. He would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. My friends, when we are forgiven, when much has been forgiven to us, let us be mindful that we need to forgive others. So it's interesting because this incident does not fall unnoticed. It's reported to the king. And the king calls him back. Verse 32. "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest him." There is, the king reminds him of his compassion, and he also reminds him, should not thou also have had, verse 33, compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. And that is the key of the verse. Is the example there, should we not forgive those who have wronged us in the very way we have been forgiven by the Lord? How many times does the Lord forgive us? Let me ask you this question. How many times do you sin? Can we say we never sin? Can we say in our hearts we never do anything wrong? Children, do you do anything wrong during the day? No, yeah, you do. Oh, I've been a child too. And we do things wrong, don't we? But the Lord wants us to remember that He forgives us. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to ask for forgiveness. That's the other thing, important thing. we need to ask for forgiveness to those. So how the servant was very cruel in putting his friend, his colleague into prison because he owed him a little money, and the king reminds him of his forgiveness, compassion. The love of God should produce compassion in our hearts. The love of God should produce also the ability to forgive from the heart. How do people know the difference between if we are real Christians or not? Well, the Lord Jesus himself tells us in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. A new commandment I give you unto you, that ye love one another. As I loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Very important how people know that we love one another. What does it entail to love one another as Christians? It entails also to be forgiving. In fact, the Apostle Paul encourages the believers later on in Ephesus to be forgiving. If you would like, Ephesians 4:31-32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Are you kind? Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There is an interesting application here. Do we forgive from our heart? Because at the end the Lord says this very truth. The Lord continues his parable. It says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Let me give you a little advice. When we don't forgive fellow believers or people who have wronged us, we remain in our hearts, stays that bitterness. And that bitterness eats us inside. And every time we meet that person and his name is mentioned, we remember that he has wronged us. Does the Lord always, when we ask him to forgive us, remember that we have wronged us? No, he doesn't. He has chosen not to remember. And also, when we do not forgive, when we don't forgive from our heart, we put a stumbling block in our Christian walk. How can we testify to anyone that God forgives sins when we are unforgiving? How can we show love when we are unforgiving? The Lord also will not forgive us. Why should he forgive us when we are unforgiving? Because when we decide not to forgive, what we are doing, we are taking the place of God, who is the judge of all the earth. And we decide that we know better than God, and therefore we decide whom we forgive and who we don't forgive. We are not the judge of the earth. Friends, we are not God. We are not called to judge the earth. Christ is. So I want to encourage you with these words. First of all, remember what you've been saved from. Look back, only for a short while, not too long. Just remember that we are sinners, that the wages of sin is death, and we have been forgiven. Then remember also that we are frail and weak in many ways. And we all are weak and frail. And the Lord is compassionate and merciful towards each one of us. And then, have compassion for the others. But at the same time, learn to forgive the others from our hearts, and to look unto Christ to lead us in His ways. The unforgiving servant forgot about the compassion he received. We must never forget what Christ has done for us. Thank you.